Did you ever wonder who the Lord is? We're prone to say the Lord. We say it all the time. And I was thinking about the service this morning, Brother Hunt, and those three men in the furnace. The Lord was in there with them. That was that fourth man. I said, man, I think sometimes that we get so used to taking the name of the Lord did this, the Lord did that. Is it that we get indefinite about who that Lord is? Are we thinking of the universal, invisible God that can't be seen, unapproachable, apart from a mediator? I want to say tonight, I'm going to go this far out, and I think and I hope it will still be within the bounds of right. The Lord of the Old Testament, that it speaks of so much, was Christ. Not the invisible, sovereign, almighty, everywhere, omnipotent, all-present God. I believe that we sort of separate God. The God of the Old Testament was the omnipotent, universal God, appointed Savior, the great shepherd, companion, teacher, instructor, deliverer, was Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, Jesus Christ wasn't born during those times. But Jesus Christ being born into human flesh wasn't the beginning of Jesus. That was the name that was given him. But he came from somewhere to this world. And we are talking about the exact same one that dwelt in the body of that baby. We seem to think, and it's, I noticed it in us preachers. We'll talk about God, but we don't tell people who we're talking about. We're too insincere. We're not realistic. We still like to be sort of mythical, sort of a mystery. The only Lord we can know is Jesus. And he wasn't always called Jesus. He didn't have a name like that until the time that he came into this world. But remember, he came. And if he came, he was somewhere before he came. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, Father, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven, said, the hour has come, now is. Glorify thy Son with the glory. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. That we'll find in this same chapter. I don't know exactly where the verse is now. Somebody might find it for me. He asked to glorify him with the glory which he had with the Father before he came. This is Jesus. We're reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify thou me in the fifth verse. With thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. He existed long before he came into this world. Jesus Christ is the Lord that we directly have something to do with. Oh, that I may be enabled to let you know who it is that I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the Lord, he is our Lord, and our Lord is our Savior, and he existed. We seem to think that he didn't come until, we seem to think that he didn't exist until he came to us in this world. But he was the God of the Old Testament people. He said in Genesis, Moses wrote the first five books, they say, I think so, in the Old Testament. In Genesis 49, verse 10, he spoke directly of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses spoke directly of our Lord Jesus Christ. 49, verse 10, he said, the scepter, this is speaking of authority, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him, that is Shiloh, another name for Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. They gathered to the tabernacle, to the old temple. They gathered to this and they gathered to that. They didn't understand very much about it. It's just the same as people don't understand very much about it today. They couldn't handle his presence because he wasn't there in the flesh, but he was there in his spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the spirit of a person is actually more that real person than his body is? The Lord, our Heavenly Father, seeks people to worship him in truth and in spirit. The only place where that we can actually, in reality, worship God is in the spirit, in our spirit. And if that spirit has not been made alive by the new birth, well, then we can't worship him anyway. It's absolutely essential. And if we have life in our soul, in our spirit, it is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not talking about Jesus' faith, his personal faith. That's talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the teaching of Jesus Christ. That is the faith of Christ. It is the faith of Christ because the substance of that faith is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if he is not the substance of our faith, then we probably have a vain faith. Deuteronomy 18. He spoke again. Deuteronomy 18. Oh, Moses spoke of Jesus. 15, verse 15 in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him, that's the raised up prophet, and unto him you shall hearken. Hearken means to hear. Hear who? This one that's going to be raised up. Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. 13, 14 verses. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin conceive. That will refer you back to Genesis 3:15, where that it was promised that the seed of the woman, not the man, the seed of the woman, this promise was seated, embedded in the saints of God from that early time. And though they didn't know how to get in touch with him, the best thing they had throughout those years was types. But those types were not a type of God, our Heavenly Father. They were types of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is that present one, was that present one. They didn't really know about that as well as we have the opportunity to know. We're living in the greatest time of revealed truth that has ever existed in this world. I'm saying here that old prophet Moses spoke of Jesus. He said he will come and he'll be a prophet. But everything was to come to those people back in those days. Isaiah said a virgin would conceive. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets to speak of history before it happened. In the history after it happened too, he was talking about a virgin that will one day conceive and bring forth a child. His name shall be whatever. But that meant Emmanuel, which means God with us. Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. This being interpreted means God with us. God in the person of Jesus Christ. In the sixth verse of the ninth chapter, the prophet speaking of Jesus again. Unto us, a child is born. That's the virgin's conceived child. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, son is given. The child was really born. He was a real child. He wasn't a mystical child. He was a real child. He cried. I'm sure he cried. He did everything else that a baby would do. We are talking about a real person. And he was a real person before he was born into childhood. The child was born. The son was given. Who's the son? I think it's the second person of the triune Godhead, who was also the Word, who was with God, and who was God. And in the 14th verse of that chapter, John 1, and the Word was made flesh. It doesn't mean that he ceased to be the Son of God, but it did mean that the Son of God and humanity would become one in the person Jesus Christ. When we're talking about the Lord, that's who we're talking about. I've heard Brother Leonard a few times. I remember you said it over to the AV, and you and I getting a big way of talking. People like to talk about an abstract God. They like to talk about things in abstract, not in reality. We're not kidding. We're just not playing religion. This thing is genuine. This is real. It's more real than anything else that we do. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that'll last. Like you referred to a while ago, we're going to come to the end of this. But something's going to remain. It's going to remain. Our flesh is going to find a resting place in this earth until such time that the same one that raised Jesus from the dead will raise our body that hath been absorbed into the ocean water or into the land, one way or the other. The wife was talking about a body the other day, in a little bottle. You can contain in a very small little bottle, about the size of a little bottle. We have the stuff in. I give my cap that shot. Little body ashes. The Lord one day will raise it, and it'll be a human body raised, and it will be glorified. It'll be without sin, but it'll be a real body. Now, when we die, we're not going to be naked. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And being present with the Lord doesn't mean we're going to be naked without a body. I believe we're going to have a body while we wait for the resurrection. I think a body that he has prepared for us. I don't know anything about that body. But that's what the scripture said. We're not going to be naked. So this thing is real. And who we're talking about is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of the prophets talk about him. And you know, Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he wasn't backward and bashful about talking about who he was. He is one that could talk about himself. But he said he was glorifying God, his Father. Christ had died. And the disciples were talking about it. They thought that he was gone forever. In the 24th chapter of Luke, they were talking along as they went along. They'd heard about his resurrection. And then he said unto them, O fools, you know, we can be fools. I don't think he was really trying to be ugly. I don't think Jesus ever tried to be ugly. We do that sometimes. I don't think he did. He said to his disciples, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Mm-hmm. Who's it talking about? Do you have any trouble like that? Now, Jesus could say to you, Brother Leonard, and he's not a self-braggart. If I call you a fool, I'm the smart aleck. I'm looking down at you, but Jesus, when he says that, he knows he's right. He never made a mistake. He could say everything he said was right. And he said to the disciples, "O fools, slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe all of the prophets. To believe all that the prophets have spoken." I've just been quoting from some of Moses, Isaiah. Ought not Christ to have suffered for these things? Ought not I? How could he say it? I ought to have suffered. I ought to have done it. He was obligated to do it. But the obligation came about long before the foundation of the world in the eternal covenant of grace. It was there where he was back then too. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the humanity of Christ was there. It was a human in eternity that agreed to the terms of the covenant of grace. I will redeem them. The Father gave us to him. But we had to be redeemed, and it was agreed on before the foundation of the world. It was agreed between the Father and the Son in the eternal covenant. And Christ agreed to do it. And therefore he said, I ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. The suffering that Christ did for us, he's into the glory of it right now. And we are enjoying what he did for us. And beginning at Moses, we began tonight at Moses in our little feeble effort to try to preach and be just as honest and sincere as if this whole church house was full. Probably more so. Because I had a whole church house full of my mind. It's hard to tell, you know, what this old mind will do. May get to looking at the numbers. Oh, how we are growing. Whether or not we're growing in the sight of the Lord doesn't necessarily mean great crowds. It means whether his little children are growing in spirit and in truth and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's real growth. But you know, if we're going to believe in him, he must be. He's not just something that doesn't exist. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what a great teacher he was. He began at Moses and went through the prophets and he said, this is speaking of me. 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 Oh, you're slow, you fool. You're slow to believe it. This is speaking of me. Jesus said that. This is speaking of me. Moses was speaking of me. Isaiah was speaking of me. The Psalms were speaking of me. And he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures. John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures. He was referring to the Old Testament at that time. You search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. You don't have eternal life by the scripture. You have eternal life because Jesus Christ gave it to you. I am come, he said. We had the life of Adam. The first Adam. And being a child of God, if we're a child of God, we have the life of the second Adam, Jesus Christ himself. It came from him. If we have spiritual life, it came right from the hands of Jesus, so to speak. Right at a time, Brother Ronnie, you didn't even know what was going on. You woke up one day and you had a spiritual thought. How come? Because he had put spiritual life into you, and you didn't help do that. You didn't agree with it. It wasn't a covenant with you. It wasn't a contract. Same with you. All of us. Any of us. Jesus gave it. John 10:28. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I thought about the more abundant. Not just having life, but even more of life. Abundant. Things added to that life. And Christ is the author of that. To Jesus. He was given the title of Christ. That was an official title. And that means the anointed one. And that means that God, the eternal God, anointed this one man, Jesus. And I think he did it in the eternal covenant long before he was ever born in this world. When Christ came into this world, he was already anointed. He had been anointed by the Father before the foundation of the world. He came into this world. He was born a king. But he didn't take up the official operation of it until such time that it did it. And he said in the 44th verse of Luke 24, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, talking to the disciples. He had told them this before, and they were slow to believe it. And we're just as slow. What we're involved in here is something that is real. If I'm called to preach, I'm called to preach something that's real. And not so much, not just something. If I'm called to preach at all, I'm called to preach Christ. That's God's purpose. That's the reason he called you. You're called to preach, and not just a bunch of ideas that don't have any substance. Not just a one religion amongst a lot of other religions. Just you can put them all in a sock and shrink them up together, reach down in there and get one. Actually, there's not too much difference in the false religion. We can be just as false. And if Jesus Christ is not the very life of our religion, we may be a religion without life. We'd be dead. But, you know, we can have life. We can have life in our church life. We can have life in our... We can have life in our prayer. We can have a living thing. It's a real thing. It is the substance. It is living substance. Our faith can be not a silent faith or a dormant faith. It can be silent. It can be dormant. But it can also be a lively faith. It can be lively if it comes from the life that is within us, which is the life of Christ. What about a faith that doesn't come from him? I've heard a preacher say, tell dead, ailing sinners, sit down in that seat. And if you can trust that seat to hold you up, trust in Jesus, and with the same faith that you sat down in that chair, put that same faith in Jesus. I don't agree with that. He made eternal salvation just as easy as sitting down in a pew in the church. No, didn't come that way. And he said unto them, these words which I spake unto you, which I was yet with you, while I was yet with you, that's before he died. He told them about it. And even though they walked with him in the flesh, day and night, they lived with him for 2 or 3 years. They didn't really know him. Or they trusted in him, and he did a lot of things for them. He proved faithful to them. They had all kind of confidence in him. But they didn't really know him. Oh, Philip said to him, show us the Father, and that will satisfy me. If you want, he said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet have you not known me? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The only way that the Father has ever been seen or ever will be seen is in Jesus Christ. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So all of it is concerning Jesus. So what we need to search when we're studying the Bible, and especially if we're studying in the Old Testament, I mean, he has to be revealed. And in the Old Testament time, about the only manifestation that they had was a little dead lamb when it slit its throat and it gave its blood and it took it. They caught it and put it in a vessel and it was given to the high priest. But long before the foundation, before a lamb ever did die that represented him, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb of God before the foundation of the world. Slain, he stood in the eternal mind and agreement and covenant. The great covenant of grace. All of these things concern me. Let's see. I want to. Maybe I'm supposed to stop here. I really can't think. Oh, yeah. Are you tired? If you're really tired, we would have to quit. Need to quit. I want to hear a little more. You want to hear a little more from Prophet Isaiah? He was a great prophet. I love Isaiah better than I do Jeremiah. I can understand Isaiah a little. I just love him. He's kind of like the Apostle Paul to me. I love the Apostle Paul better than any of the rest of them fellows. And because the Lord has used these people to instruct this dummy. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, I didn't get to that. He said, who hath believed my report? And then he said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What is an arm? We all know what an arm is. If I'm standing over here and I want to get my hearing aid, if I can reach out there and get it, you know,
You sit down at the table to eat a meal. You use your arms, or somebody else will use their arms to feed you, one of the other. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Jesus Christ was the arm of Almighty God by which you and I have been touched, as we sing sometimes, touched by the Master's hand. Jesus is the arm of God. That arm can mean more than a touch. It can mean the power. It can mean the power to give life. It can mean the power of redemption. It can mean the power that we all need every day, especially the spiritual power. And then he goes ahead to talk about that. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hey, by the way, it has to be revealed. Now, the way the Lord reveals is through the Word. But the Word has to be revealed. Otherwise, you just, read it like I read the newspaper. I read it fast because it don't make much difference. Christ is in the Scripture, but it must be revealed. The arm of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus Christ. I hope to have said that reverently. I hope that my emphasis can be reverent. And with all of my heart, and with the heart that was given to me by the power of God, I wasn't born with it until I was born again. For he, in verse 2, and I'm not going to go all the way through this chapter, but this whole chapter was talking about Jesus. The prophet Isaiah was just filled full of the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. And I asked my wife a question. I'm coming over here about that pronoun. What is a personal pronoun and what's just a plain old pronoun? I'm not going to try to get into details about that. But I want to just bring to your attention this and give you something you can do when you go home. Take the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you want to get a pencil like I did, you'll see all those dots in there. You can see them. You can put them in your own Bible. You can count them. And all of the his, him, and he. It was talking about Jesus. And there's 47 of those in this chapter. The prophet Isaiah was full of the message of Jesus Christ. Now, as we bring this part of the service to a close, let's not be satisfied with a mystical or one that doesn't really exist. Let's not be satisfied with that. And pray for me. I'd like to ask you to pray for me that I will have the conviction and the leadership and the ability to preach Christ. And when I do it, preach him in such a way that you'll know who it is I'm talking about. Okay? I would appreciate that prayer. If I can't do that, if I don't do that, my preaching will be really empty. I need the grace of God for Christ Jesus to be real to me. And I believe you need the same thing, don't you? It has to be a real man, the real Savior, that does anything to us like you're talking about, giving us that power to suffer. It has to be him that gives us the grace to do that with. He our rose of Sharon and lily of the valley. We have the mountaintops and we have the valleys. And when he comes to us down in the valley, that we've been talking about quite a bit, we don't forget that as much as we forget when he comes to us on the top of the mountain. I really, you refer to me having some evidence of that. I'll have to say, I heard Brother Carl say this one, he wouldn't sell some of the experiences that he's had. That he wouldn't want to go through with it again. I wouldn't want to go through with what I did again. But I wouldn't sell what I learned and what I reaped. I wouldn't sell it. If I would sell it, I would be a fool. I learned a lot. I learned how. I learned something about it. I don't think I suffered very graciously. But I had to have suffered something. But here I am tonight. I didn't know that I'd be here or not. Of course, none of us know that, do we? But if we are called upon to suffer, that means maybe we got closer to it than we do just when we're feeling good all the time. It was a great experience for me. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I just hope that I can maintain that faith and that sincerity in Christ in the rest of my life. If I have to go down the valley, I hope that I will be, I will not be one of those fools, but by the grace of God that I can believe that he'll be with me. He says he'll be with us, and I believe he will. But we're in this flesh, and we have the battle. And if this happens, Brother Roddy, to you and me, all like it does to me, there comes times when I want to be spiritual, and I can't. I have to beg and cry and pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will not be just a shadow, but that you will be the real Savior and the one that I need all the time. May God bless you.